Hey everyone, welcome to Locked On Lakers for Friday. Brian Kamenetsky, Andy Kamenetsky. Andy, amid all the questions about which star is on its way out and which star might be on his way in, have the Lakers assembled a roster where Talen Horton-Tucker doesn't have a role to play? That's next on Locked On Lakers.
You are Locked On Lakers, your daily Los Angeles Lakers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
Thanks to everybody for making Locked On Lakers first listen of every day, Monday through Friday, sometimes on weekends. No matter how you get your podcast, no matter where you get your podcast, never behind a paywall, always free, always providing fresh Lakers content. Locked On Lakers on YouTube is where you go to get the visual version of the audio. Always have some fun stuff that we post up on there that makes it a little bit of a different experience. And of course, that's where you go to get the breaking news first. It'll always go to the YouTube channel. So it's worth subscribing just for that. Quick a little piece of information here. Everybody knows we are working with the fine folks at Doer. We'll have a little more to say about them later in the show. Makers of the world's most comfortable pants, and they really are great. We're going to be doing an event there. Save the date, August 27th. If you are in LA, you go to the Doer store, 170 South La Brea, in Los Angeles, mid-city, mid-Wilshire area. And we will be there. We're going to do a show built around your questions, a big giant mailbag. And if you're there, awesome. And you can participate. Otherwise, you can send in questions. We'll have giveaways and there'll be other stuff coming up in the weeks up leading up to it. But again, August 27th, it'll all be built around to our exclusive Locked On 15 discount code that you use at shopdoer.com or at the store itself. A couple of things we want to get into, including whether or not Dwight Howard would make a good professional wrestler. And this is just not idle speculation. This is something that actually is flooding the NBA Twitter sphere over the course of Thursday. So we'll get into that. Some stuff about Kendrick Nunn and his importance to the team, but let's start here, Andy. Jovan Buha, our friend we've had on the show many times, former colleague over at The Athletic, covers the Lakers, does a great job there. Had kind of one of these standard, you know, summertime, hey, the rotation, the roster's coming together. What's going on here kind of things. What does it look like? What does the rotation look like? There were a couple things in this story from Jovan, and we'll tweet it out at Cam Brothers, that were fairly stunning. Before we get into one of the, I think, the most important details that we referenced in the cold open, I read this story from Jovan, and my point isn't to quibble with his idea of what the rotation might be. I left it going, this team does not have very many good players. Like, to see the depth chart written down, thank you, Andy, as he did here, and you kind of look at all the names and you say, it is not at all inspirational. At least it wasn't to me. I was just like, oh my God, this is not a good team.
Yeah, the way he has it laid out right now, he had two versions of the depth chart, but the one that I think most people anticipate, Brian, is with Anthony Davis starting at the four. You know, it's been essentially the pattern of his time with the Lakers, but also they decidedly upgraded the center position with Thomas Bryant and Damian Jones as opposed to last year, Dwight Howard and DeAndre Jordan. So the expectation with that is you're going to play these guys. But his rotation right now, 10-man rotation, would be Thomas Bryant, AD, LeBron, Austin Reeves, Russ as your starters. Then Damian Jones, Juan Toscano-Anderson, Troy Brown Jr., Lonnie Walker IV, and Kendrick Nunn as your reserves, going with a 10-man rotation. And like you said, Brian, when you see it in front of you, it doesn't necessarily, you know, I'm not going to go so far as to say the roster feels like trash or anything like that. But it does not jump out at you as like, all right, they are immediately moving in the direction
like this is a team
of
that, like,
contention.
Go look at the depth chart for the Nuggets. Go look at the depth chart for the Suns. Go look at it for, you know, obviously the Warriors. Like, this ain't that. And like, I'm not trying to disparage these guys. They're, like you said, call them trash or this, that, or whatever. But like, there's not a third best. There's not a third player on the roster right now that any one of these contenders would look at and say, "Give me that guy to play a big role on my team." You know, would they put him on the team? Sure. Would teams take Kendrick Nunn and put him on the team? Sure. Would they teams want Austin Reeves to be somewhere on their roster? Yeah, I think they probably would. But nobody in that contending group looks at that rotation and says, okay, Anthony Davis, LeBron James, set those guys aside. Give me two or three of those other dudes. Like, I would love to fill out my team with those guys. They either have them, the equivalent, or are already doing way better.
Yeah, and I mean,
to see it written down, it was stark.
It's interesting because when you look at the 2020 championship team, we both recognized in the moment while covering that team that they were very good. And you could see over the course of the season that they were a really good team. But, and this is maybe something that can lead Laker fans some optimism, neither one of us was dead certain that that team could win a championship. We saw that over the course of the season, even during the playoffs and even on their way to winning that championship, their offense could be very suspect. It could be incredibly dependent on LeBron and AD. You know, that question, Brian, that you just raised now of who is the third best player on the Lakers? Is that third best player good enough to actually scare opposing defenses, opposing coaches? That was something that we used to question all the time.
Absolutely, absolutely.
But I think the main difference, though, between the 2020 championship team, and maybe some of this is just what you realize in hindsight of having seen the whole season or just with distance from that season, is just how well suited they were to complement LeBron and AD, but also too, just the switchability that they had, you know, relatively along the wings with like a Kuzma and a KCP and a Danny Green, you know, Alex Caruso coming into his own. They were built to play defense and they emerged as a really good defensive team. And
those were surprises. It was surprising how good they were defensively.
Absolutely.
There were surprises. And I think, you know, I'm to run with the point you're making. There were questions like, we didn't know JaVale McGee and Dwight Howard were going to be the kind of combination that they were. Like, that was a surprise. I didn't necessarily see
Kuzma took steps forward in his development that you didn't know. Alex Caruso, both of us were high on him in terms of, we were like, no, he's more than a novelty. This guy can actually play, but he had never been tested at that level before.
But there are a lot of differences. First of all, like you say, the cohesiveness in terms of how these players fit together is much better, and it certainly turned out to be much better. There was also a kind of concept, I think, to it, like, you know, and as it turns out, guys like KCP, guys like Kyle Kuzma, guys like Danny Green, who had a very positive, you know, the numbers weren't great, but his overall effect on that team was quite strong. You know, you had something there that made sense. Certainly as it turned out that it made sense. And the hope is that Darvin Ham can do that with this group. But you said something to me that I thought was really interesting about this before we started taping, as we're kind of talking through topics. You said to me, this roster feels incomplete.
Yeah.
And that obviously to some degree is based on the fact that they are literally trying to trade people in order to complete the roster. But it's also related to something else that I want to get into next. And I'll do that right after, Andy, I tell people about Doer. We mentioned him at the top of the show. Doer is our partner here at Locked On Lakers and exclusively Locked On Lakers. They make incredibly comfortable, incredibly versatile clothing. It's performance clothing that's made simple. It's clothes that adapt to what you're doing, whether it's a business meeting, a day out with with your friends, you're on a hike, you're chasing your kids around, whatever it is. It's all like lifestyle clothing, Andy, that basically crosses lifestyles. And what I really like about it, in addition to the comfort, is these are staple items. It's a lot of neutrals. It's a lot of, just sort of, it's denims and things that you can wear with all kinds of stuff that you can throw a pop of color in here. You can do. And so I love that it's stuff that I can reach for every day and mix it and match it with the rest of my wardrobe in a way that's always going to look good and always going to look appropriate. You go to the store at 170 South La Brea in Los Angeles. It's Mid-City. I'm sorry, Mid-Wilshire. I live in Mid-City, just for so people know. And you
go to
find
Brian's
it there.
House.
That's right. I'll show you the pants
in your
doer.
Go to Brian's house in your doer.
In your doer, he'll show. I will. We'll have sodas, and you go to the store, try the stuff on, feel it, touch it, all that kind of stuff. You'll understand what we're talking about. Or if you can't do that, go to shopdoer.com. Use our discount code LOCKEDON15, and you get the discount. Try it out. I really think that, and we both think that you are going to enjoy it. Again, shopdoer.com. That's where you get the most comfortable pants you're ever going to find.
I want to let all you freaks know none of you are invited in my house. Locked On Lakers also brought to you by BetOnline. BetOnline.net, your number one source for all your betting stats and sports info. Find all the latest sports developments, league reviews, and news, including baseball, boxing, MMA, NFL futures, and more. And futures, it is never too early to start betting on the 2023 NBA champions. New odds are up. They're always shifting. Right now, the Celtics, Vegas, and BetOnline loves them some Boston. Sorry. They are currently at 4-1. Bucks at 6.25-1. Golden State 7-1. Clippers 7.5-1. Phoenix at 9.5-1. And then the Nets, this is apropos, Brian, Nets and Lakers both at 14-1. Both equally unsettled. Interestingly enough, the Sixers at 16-1. That feels kind of disrespectful for some of the stuff they've done in this offseason. BetOnline is your continued source for all your sporting wagering information, from live betting, playoffs, esports, and more. So head to the website today or use your mobile device. Learn more about the trends in action. BetOnline, where the game starts.
All right. So I mentioned this idea of the roster feeling incomplete, and it's obviously a function of trying to complete it and change who's on it. But I also think this is
it feels very unsettled to me. Like, even more than incomplete, it feels unsettled.
It doesn't feel unsettled to me so much as it feels mismatched. It feels incomplete in the sense that they couldn't put something together that really made a lot of sense. And it's not even so much that I hate the individual players that they've signed, although I'm still not a big fan of the Walker signing. I hope it pans out, but I'm not hyper optimistic about it. Or at least that it'll be the best use of the money that they could have had. This is what happens when you have to build a roster essentially out of minimum spots and a small exception. You can't build something super cohesive. You can't build something that makes sense in the way that that championship roster turned out to make sense, led, of course, by a younger LeBron and a younger Anthony Davis and, a bubble Davis playing at a level that was, we still haven't quite seen since. But the biggest impact this has had in the effort to try to go younger and more athletic, which is good, they had to sacrifice shooting on the way. And Andy, as a result in it, Jovan, I think rightly, when you put up that thing at the beginning of the show, the depth chart that Jovan sketched out, THT isn't in the rotation. Talen Horton Tucker, the guy they signed, it's the fourth highest paid player on the team, isn't in the rotation. And you can argue about whether or not how accurate that is, but it's not a stupid take from Jovan. Jovan's too smart for that.
Yeah, Brian, that was the thing that jumped out at me immediately, even before like the assessment you had of the overall roster, because I know that was the first thing that jumped out at you, was THT not in this rotation projection at all. And it mirrored a recent discussion I heard on a Lakers Nation podcast. And obviously, all of this is just projections. We don't know what this team's going to look like, or hell, even if THT's going to be on it come fall. And I guess if you are looking for some upside or potential optimism, I would say that if THT can improve his most problematic areas, which would be outside shooting, utility off the ball, and defense. Again, these are big ifs and big areas, but if he can, you could see him potentially as a starter at the two, ahead of Reeves, maybe even starting at the one if they decided to play Russ off the bench, or if Russ is exiled or not on the team or whatever. And he could also be a key bench player 1-4, depending on who else is there. And I'm telling you right now, they will give him a chance to relegate Troy Brown Jr. or Juan Toscano-Anderson or even Kendrick Nunn and Lonnie Walker IV to the bench. They have too much invested in him, like financially and reputationally, for him to end up out of the rotation unless it's just obvious he has no place in there. Like, it would be really embarrassing for the organization to have signed a 20-year-old to a $30 million contract where he doesn't play.
Right.
But right now, the way this roster is set up, he does not have an obvious place to go. There is no obvious place where you look at THT, and some of this is THT's own shortcomings. Some of this is the other guys on the roster, what they can do, what they can't do.
Like, in theory, if these guys do what there's like, I am Troy Brown skeptical, because I think there's a reason he's kind of struggled to find niches. And so, you know, the 3-and-D stuff aside, the 3 hasn't really been there, and the D is not Matisse Thybulle level where you find a place to get him. I think it could be a decent signing for $1.5 million. It's like, I don't have a problem with it. And so, like, could he end up doing some of that stuff? Sure. THT's shooting issues are a problem on a team that has Russell Westbrook and now a bunch of other non-shooters. And part of the reason I think they need to move Westbrook is because it's hard to play THT without him. We saw that last year. And now this year, the problem's even worse. What do you do if you can't play THT? You can't trade him.
And if you can't trade him and you can't play him, I can tell you right now, he's opting into that deal for year 3.
Damn right he is.
Yes, he is.
It was one of these things that I have to admit, I didn't think of right away in terms of when they're signing all these different guys. I was like, geez, they've just shrunk the court so much. Where is THT going to play? But once it kind of occurred to me, it's another example of how bad the fallout from the Westbrook deal is, because this is a direct result of that, both the roster construction and the fact that you have nowhere to play your 4th highest paid player is a result of this. It's all drawn from that one place.
Well, here's the other thing too about it. And, you know, again, this is just projection. THT may prove his worth as the player that he currently is, or may show up looking like a different player and putting himself
and somebody else sits because of it.
Right.
And, you know, Troy Brown, for just to use the name again, if he doesn't end up playing, okay.
I'm telling you right now, they will give THT every opportunity to sit every other one of those guys that we just mentioned in that rotation ahead of him, assuming he can play their position. But if these projections with THT prove to be what actually happens, like, for all the focus on the Russell Westbrook trade, which obviously was a mistake and obviously is a very loud mistake and one that is a very complicating mistake, and one that was a very avoidable mistake. We heavily advised them to avoid it in the moment. You can actually make an argument, I think, Brian, that THT choosing him over Alex Caruso was actually the more egregious mistake, because with Russell Westbrook, as many red flags as there were for trading for him, he was not in their house the last few years. So you don't know everything about what it's like working with a player until you work with him. So they could at least like claim some degree of either plausible deniability, plausible ignorance, whatever, in terms of the things that went wrong. Or you could say, look, we know it's going to be an awkward fit, but at the end of the day, he's Russell Westbrook. Some of the things that he does when he is at the top of his game, there are few people who can replicate. We're also hoping he can kind of be a poor man's LeBron when LeBron's off the court. You can at least, I don't think it's great logic, but you can at least assign that logic.
You can
THT versus Caruso. Those are two guys in their house for a couple years. They should have known exactly where both of them were in their development, exactly how ready THT was or was not to help them in that moment, to have that type of responsibility. You can really argue that was a more egregious error in judgment than Russ.
You just, this is something I don't think we'll get to it today, but Eric Pincus at Bleacher Report, another friend of the show, wrote a great story where he just kind of surveyed people around the league about the Westbrook problem the Lakers have. And it is very split. There are people who believe, you know, some of the stuff that Andy and I talked about on Wednesday's show in terms of how you handle Westbrook and why. There are people who say you got to get rid of him at all costs, send him home, whatever it is. But the word that one of the people in that story used is pot committed. And I know there are fans out there that always say, stop relitigating it, stop living in the past. It's over, it's done, whatever. But you can't, because everything the Lakers do now is a result. It's all in the wake of that trade. It's all in that, you know, the chop of it. And Alex, if we were shocked when they did this, it's like, well, obviously they have to keep Caruso now. And then they didn't.
We were stunned.
They were pot committed and didn't behave like it. They as soon as they make that trade, they were pot committed. You got to spend gajillions. You do whatever you possibly can to make everything work, because you've taken such a massive swing. And it's not just about your luxury tax costs and your payroll. It's all of it. It's every little thing you have to do right to try to make this work, because you are so far in that getting yourself out, as we are finding now, it's gonna be damn near impossible. And I don't know what it, I mean. Look, we've been getting in and out of a lot of disappointing subjects for the Lakers, but like when we sat down to talk about topics for this, and we both noticed the same thing with THD. I know it jumped off the page at you. We just haven't talked about it. It's the first time we've really gotten into this question. I'm so annoyed. I am so annoyed by it. It is incredibly annoying to me as somebody who watches and observes and obviously wants the Lakers to be good, that we find ourselves with this as a legitimate possibility.
There was one other thing, Brian, that jumped out at me with the projected rotation from Jovan before we move on to Kendrick Nunn specifically. His projected bench of Damian Jones, Juan Toscano-Anderson, Troy Brown Jr., Lonnie Walker IV, Kendrick Nunn. What was interesting about that to me was it's five guys who've never played together before, and save Damian Jones's eight games in the 2021 season, never played with the Lakers before, as opposed to last year's bench where you had THT as a holdover, Avery Bradley, you know, in and out of the bench. Dwight Howard had been away for a year, but he had worked under Frank Vogel. He'd worked with LeBron and AD. You know, Rondo was with the team early in the season. Like, it really just underscores how much mixing and matching turnover has been.
Right.
And like, that is unusual to have a bench where nobody had played together before.
Right. And last year's group was just getting the band back together in a lot of ways. But like, I like the general tack they've taken, but like, you are dart throwing it. It's one thing if you have trouble projecting it because you have just too many good players. Like, we just have too many damn good players. Like, we can't figure it out. That's one place to be. This is not that. It's because everybody's got a weakness, and you're hoping certain guys pop in ways that they may not have to this point in their career. It is a really uncomfortable place to be. But let's talk about something that could be actually a bright spot here, Andy. Very interesting list put out by ESPN earlier this week, where a Laker appeared in a, I don't know, non-critical way, in an optimistic kind of way, and we're going to talk about it next. So ESPN.com's list, Andy, it was a guys who missed last season who are returning and could have a real impact on what you're, so you're talking about Zion, Kawhi Leonard, obviously, Jamal Murray, some really big name players that obviously people know were out for the year. But once you got past the headliners, the first name that came up of guys who could really have an impact this year, who were gone last year and you may have forgotten about, was Kendrick Nunn.
Yeah.
And I know this is a point that you've made a couple times over the course of the offseason. It is really important that the Lakers get a lot out of Kendrick Nunn this year.
Yeah. He is the equivalent of an incoming free agent, because he did not play a single second last season in the regular season. He told Chris McGee during an interview with Spectrum Sportsnet recently that he feels 100% now, like as good as he felt before getting hurt. And I also thought it was interesting. He said that from watching an entire season on the bench, it was a learning experience. And in particular, the game slowed down a lot for him just from watching and observing. And that's always something that's like a really key moment for young players in the development, like the moments where the games really start slowing down and it starts feeling like they're not just sort of scrambling to keep up with, you know, the pace of an NBA game. The other thing though, like I started looking back at Kendrick Nunn and like his numbers, because we haven't seen him play in so long. And if you look at him offensively from season one to season two, there was dramatic improvement. Like his percentages from the field overall went from a little under 44% to 48.5%, went from behind the arc 35% to 38.1%. His 2-point percentage overall went up almost 10%, effective field goal percentage, true shooting. That all went up.
Offensive rating went, you know, some of the, if you're looking at some of the advanced numbers, you know, offensive rating went up, you know, all that, you know, win shares per 48, all that kind of stuff that you know, both the counting stats and the, you know, so the metric stats all improved for sure.
Yeah. And, you know, it's, I think in a lot of ways it's debatable whether, you know, Kendrick Nunn is so much a point guard, you know, rather than a combo guard who's really a shooting guard trapped in a point guard 6'2" body. But like he was on the road, it seemed like, towards just improvement. And it's, I looked back at some of like the year-end wrap-ups for the 2021 season for Kendrick Nunn, like at hot hoops from SB Nation. And they talked about how Miami was better in transition when Nunn was on the floor. Per Cleaning the Glass, the Heat registered 138.1 points per 100 possessions with Nunn on the court, which was in the 92nd percentile. It dropped to the 17th when he was off. That's a big deal because the Lakers are looking to run. The other thing too is he was very good on catch and shoot threes. You know who can set you up with a lot of those? LeBron.
Russell Westbrook.
You know what? For all the laughing, Russ actually can do a good job with that. He's not bad at it.
You know, it's funny. Like when you start to see, like, he's one of those guys that can change this sort of depth chart thing that Jovan was putting. Like we had conversations last year where Westbrook, where Nunn was like a potential starter. I think it's hard to do it with LeBron, where if AD plays the four, you know, you have Thomas Bryant out there, which I think makes the most sense. You want to take advantage of actually decent positional depth at center, but like, you know, Nunn really forcing the issue as, you know, a guy who plays 25 minutes a game or something like that, as opposed to 18 or something like, you know, that many reserves will. You know, a 25-minute, a 28-minute guy, a guy who could sometimes close games, that shuffles up this entire rotation. And whether it's Nunn or, you know, Damian Jones or Troy Brown or Lonnie Walker just being better than I think he's going to be or more functional or whatever it is, like somebody like that is going to have to pop, like in a big way, for the Lakers to succeed. And I think Nunn is a great candidate for that. And he's a guy that people are forgetting about because he didn't play. Like, I forget who it was. Like it was an ESPN. I think it was one of the ESPN broadcasts during the summer league. They put out a potential depth chart for the Lakers.
Yes.
Kendrick
yes.
wasn't even on it.
Yeah.
Like it wasn't that they didn't think he was going to play. He literally wasn't on it. They forgot about him because he wasn't there. And so, you know, I do think it is, when you look at this team, it is easy to forget. It's a lot of pressure to put on him to play like a high-end sixth man. Like, you got to go fill that role. Can't be an eighth guy. You got to be, like, really good.
Which, to be fair, he's shown that he can do.
He's shown he can do.
Certainly
I also think it's, you know, you named some numbers last year. A lot of that happened, you know, in terms of thinking about what you need to put around him. His usage rate was lower in his second year than his first. So it showed that he can be productive without having to have the ball in his hands as much as he was as a rookie and all that. And so he is a guy who we loved when they signed him. And I remain very encouraged that he's on the team And when you ask me to think of things that make you think the Lakers could be better than people expect, he is in that category of things that I think could do that.
Yeah. And it's really important that they do. I mean, last season we identified the six players that we thought were going to play. Like everybody else, there were six guys: LeBron, AD, Russ, Kent Bazemore. That one didn't work out. THT,
cold takes.
THT and Kendrick Nunn. Those were the six guys that we were like, they definitively have a role in this rotation. And Nunn obviously did not play. But a player like him last year, I'm not saying would have turned their fortunes around. They had too many other problems that went wrong, but he would have made a difference.
Oh, yeah.
Like for sure. Nunn as they projected him to be, or just the way he played in Miami, even with, you know, the erratic results defensively and, you know, a little bit of inconsistency offensively, he would have really helped.
How often did we talk about how they didn't have NBA caliber players on that team?
Yeah.
I mean, like, you know, just by virtue of being a legitimate NBA player, he would have helped them. So we'll see how that goes. We'll get to some of this stuff, I guess, on Monday about Westbrook. And some of the reaction that Eric Pincus got from people around the league in terms of what the heck the Lakers should do with Westbrook, which is very much related to the show we did on Wednesday. Thursday, about on Locked On Lakers. And we didn't get a chance to talk about Dwight as a wrestler, which I guess we'll get to on Monday. There's still stuff happening. Locked On 15 at shopdoer.com. Remember, August 27th, we're going to be doing a show. We'll have more information about time and stuff like that. Saturday, August 27th, we'll be doing a live taping at the Doer Shop, 170 South La Brea Avenue. Whether you participate with questions beforehand, whether you participate live with us in the taping, it'll be worth your while. We'll have some giveaways. We'll have some fun stuff to go along with that. So make people aware. More details coming. Everybody have a great weekend.